A walk down memory lane with our very own Jewish encyclopedia. It's Talk of the Town with Isaac Resnick, only on your station, 101.9 Chai FM.
Good morning, a lovely morning in Johannesburg, 11 minutes past 9. And now, if we're still in the month of Women's Month, which is the month of August, and I'm going to talk about a few women a little later on as well. And particularly, I'm going to talk about some of the women in the catering industry. But before that, as usual, I start off with those, unfortunately, who passed away during the week. And there was Brian Weinstein, Michael Nachoff, Henry Epstein, Sylvia Goldberg, Stanley Bernhardt, and Phyllis Berman. I haven't had the list for this morning yet, but if it does come through, I'll announce the names if there were any funerals. Now, just to wish all the families Chaim Tovim Arukim a long and a good life, and may they have no further sorrow. Now, of course, now in 3 weeks' time, it's going to be Rosh Hashanah, which is on that Wednesday night, the 20th, Thursday and Friday. So I'm sure everybody's starting to prepare now. And, you know, the days gone by, we used to start looking at the post box to receive the Rosh Hashanah cards from all over South Africa, all over the world. If they did send, used to take a few weeks to come by boat or by air. And today everything is instant. So you don't see those cards anymore. It's everything is done on the email or on WhatsApp, and that's the response we have today. But we looked forward to it. Remember, we used to run to the post box, see all the cards, and a lot of people used to display them on their sideboards, their dining room tables. It was really something to look forward to. And then, of course, also, a week before Rosh Hashanah, that's going to be on the Saturday evening, the 16th, we start to say Slichot. And of course, I remember very well, and it's a pity we don't have them anymore. We used to have those Slichot services in the big shuls like the Great Park, the Berea, Sydenham, etc., Pine Street. Today, every shul has its own little service. But how many of you remember the days when you would go to the Walnut Street Shul with Chief Rabbi Louis Rabinowitz, or even later on with Rabbi Kasper, and you had Chazan Alter, and then Johnny Gluck. Magnificent Slichot services. They would start about a half an hour before midnight, where there would be a shiur, and then we would have the service, or at the Berel HaChagah Shul, or as we call it, the Beth HaMedrash HaGurl, we had Moshe Stern, and then also in Berea, Chazan Mandel, and then later on there was Chazan Bagley at the Oxford Shul as well. And I remember one year where the late Chazan Gluck, Johnny Gluck, and Chazan Bagley together had a service in Berea. Really, we really looked forward to that. It was something outstanding, but you don't get that anymore. Everyone is doing its own thing. So, as I said, that'll be on the Saturday night, the 16th. That's usually a week before Rosh Hashanah. But you know, the Sephardim, they begin to say Slichot from the month of Elul, right at the beginning now. And I saw a beautiful video the other day of hundreds of thousands. It was unbelievable. There must have been 50, 60,000 people at the Kotel for a Slichot service. It really was amazing. So if you want to add anything, please feel free. You can SMS or send a message to 34519. Now also, I'm starting to prepare now. As you know, I'm very involved with the Union of Orthodox Synagogues and the Johannesburg Beth Din with the Etrogim. And we're starting to place our orders already. And of course, our Etrogim, and I want to tell the Arba Minim, are the only Etrogim and Arba Minim which are under the Hechsha of the Johannesburg Beth Din. That's not to say that the others are not kosher. They are kosher, but ours are the only one with the Hechsha of the Johannesburg Beth Din. That's under the Beth Din with the Rosh Beth Din, Rabbi Moshe Kutzak Shlita, Chief Rabbi Warren Goldstein, the other Dayanim as well. So I'm starting on that. If anybody wants any information, please feel free to contact me. You can send me an email at isaac@chai.org. co.za. And also, you can contact the Union of Orthodox Synagogues, and you can phone them, and they'll give you all the information. And you must book early, because really, this year is going to be very difficult. We are going to supply, but, you know, because of the drought, and as a matter of fact, I must mention, also, there was a problem with the Etrogim that come from Italy. That's the Colibri, because there was a very cold weather, and there seems to be a problem there as well. But I'm sure plans are put forward to supply the community who require the Colibri Etrogim. I'll talk a little bit about that in a few moments as well. And just to give you a background, you know, about the Lulavim, the ones that the Union of Orthodox Synagogues get come from a very reliable source. Originally, there is a Heksha from the late Rabbi Moshe Feinstein for those Lulavim. And, you know, a lulav is not so easy to get. You think you can get as many from a tree. It doesn't work that way. From one tree, the most you can get out is two kosher lulavim. So we have thousands of trees which are made available to us so they can supply the community. And did you know for a lulav to be kosher, it has to, there are two trees. There's the male and the female. And the male tree is the one that bears the fruit. So it's got to be a fruit-bearing tree, you know, got dates, and that's the ones that are kosher. Not the ones that come from the Canary Islands, or those are beautiful, who love him, but they are not a kosher, because they don't bear fruit. The male tree doesn't bear fruit. So if you want to know anything else, you can text me, and I'll give you more information. In a few moments, we're going to take an ad break, and we'll be back thereafter.
What's going on in the community? Let's find out with Isaac Resnick.
Now, just to get back, I just read this, and I said for the high holidays. You know, I've spoken about this before. The late Chief Rabbi Louis Rabinowitz once remarked, he says, why is it called the high holidays? There's no such thing as high holidays. In other words, if you're calling Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur high holidays, then what are Pesach and Shavuot and Sukkot low holidays? He said every holiday is equal. So there's no such thing as a high holiday. I think it's an Americanization, that's the word I can use, that came in to say high holidays. So I just wanted to put that record straight. Now, as I mentioned earlier before we started, that, you know, we're still in the month of the woman. And I'm going to talk about a few women in a few moments who've made their impact in the community, and also some women caterers in this community. Because as I said, we have a wonderful woman who, Rosh Hashanah is coming up, who spend hours in the kitchen preparing the most beautiful meals and when all the family get together. But today also is the yahrzeit of Rabbi Simcha Cohen, 1843-1926. He was the Rav of Minsk, known as the Or Sameach. And then also is the Rosh Yeshiva of Hebron, Rabbi Yecheskel Sana, 1890-1969. And also Reb Arya Leib Lopian, 1910-1979, the Rosh Yeshiva of Gateshead. Now, tomorrow evening, that'll be then for Thursday, which will be the 9th of Elul, is going to be the yahrzeit of the late Chief Rabbi Cyril Harris. I'm sure many of you remember. It's now 12 years since his passing. He was very, very involved in the Jewish community. He came here in 1987, but was appointed in 1988. And unfortunately, as I said, he passed away in 2005. He served this community with absolute distinction. He was here at the right time, the right place, when F.W. de Klerk, remember, he announced in 1990 that they're going to unban the ANC, and that the country would go to the polls, elect a new government, and there would be a new dispensation. Rabbi Harris was very involved because I accompanied him. We went when they had the Kodessa conferences to set up a commission and to prepare a new constitution for South Africa. And then we went to the polls in 1994, and then the new dispensation came in. And Rabbi Harris, of blessed memory, was very, very involved with this government of the day, and particularly had a close association with Nelson Mandela. They took note of him. They always asked him for advice. Very, very involved. And we want to wish the family, that's Anne Harris, Lebor Lachaim, and the sons in London. There's Mike, Rabbi Michael, and Jonathan, a long and a good life. Now, getting back now to women. Now, I want to mention some of the women, but these are Gentile ladies, but they did play a part and made a big difference in the South Africa politics as well, and also in cultural art, etc. I'd already spoken about Helen Suzman and Dr. Ellen Hellman and Bertha Solomon, but there was Lila Raitz. I'm sure many may have not remember. You know, there's a famous attorney firm called Denise Raitz, and Lila Raitz was the wife of Denise Raitz. She was South Africa's first woman member of parliament, and she stood in Parktown. That was the constituency which later became Houghton, Parktown, and Riviera, etc., where Helen Suzman was the member of parliament when she left the United Party. There's the sole member representing the Progressive Party. And Denise, Mrs. Lila Raitz, was a champion of women's rights. And you know, when she retired, then she was succeeded by another famous woman, and that was the first Jewish lady to be in parliament, and that was Bertha Solomon. Now, also, another very famous woman was Anna Skippers. I'm sure many of you remember the name Anna Skippers. She was the secretary of the Garment Workers Union for many, many years. And she was the voice of, I'm sure, of the white, the colored and Indian garment workers, and very, 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 very outspoken against the government of that day. That was, of course, the nationalist government. The other very famous woman was Margaret Ballinger. I'm sure you've heard of her. She was also very, very involved. She was the head of the Department of History at Rhodes and married William Ballinger. He was a senior lecturer at the Wits University. And she was in Parliament also from 1937 to 1960. 23 years she served. Was an international, a wonderful speaker, and she wrote a book called From Union to Apartheid. She was honored by a doctorate by the University of Cape Town. So those were some of the non-Jewish women who were very famous. And then, of course, you had Anna Smith. Remember Anna Smith? She was Johannesburg's first city librarian. I knew her very well. Used to go there quite often. Remember that wonderful library? The library still exists, but it's not what it was there in Market Square. Beautiful library. Everything was unbelievable. Whatever you needed, you could find. And Anna Smith was the author of a famous book called Pictorial History of Johannesburg and Johannesburg Street Names. And as a tribute, the university gave her an honorary Doctor of Laws. It was 1974. And then there's Mrs. Fatima Mir, very South African-born Indian, not only a prominent sociologist, but also a very, very well-known in the Indian community. She also was very against the anti-apartheid government, very well recognized by all South Africans. The others I mentioned were Jewish. That was Nadine Gordimer. I'm sure you remember her, the famous authoress, and she got the Nobel Prize. There was Sarah Gertrude Milne, famous author as well, and Sarah Goldblatt. Remember, she was the secretary to that very famous Afrikaans poet, literary writer, Langenhoven. He wrote The Stem, and when he passed away, she took all over his works. She was the trustee and administrator of his legacy. That was some of the women there. And then there was a very, very well-known lady called Sela Sichal. I'm sure she became a minister in Mandela's government. She was originally from the Transkei, and she passed away a few years ago, but she made an enormous contribution in the post-apartheid era. Now, I'm going to talk about the era in a few moments of the famous caterers. Now, we know that we always had caterers which started off. I can't talk about Cape Town or Durban. I'm talking about Johannesburg only, because I'm not familiar with the Cape Town caterers. Where the first cater was men, they dominated the catering scene. And I'll come back to their names in a few moments, and then we'll talk about some of the famous women caterers. So as I mentioned, we're now going to talk about some of the women caterers, because Rosh Hashanah is coming up, and this is the time where all the women are in the kitchen preparing those meals for the Yom Tovim. Now, as I mentioned, that in the early days, it was the men who started the catering business here in Johannesburg. And I'm sure many of you remember the famous Tucker's caterers and Ginsburg's caterers. And then there was M&M, that was Maya Maransky. And then there was Francisco, that was owned by Mr. Fishpen. And, of course, today we have Stan and Pete and Gary Friedman. But the women who really also made their mark in the catering industry were, and I'm just thinking off my head because while driving here, I just tried to bring back some of the names of those ladies. There was Gloria Rutstein from Gloria's Caterers. And of course there's Joyce. That's Joyce Bloch. And Maureen Beda, Maureen's Caterers. Dulcie Brody, Ruth Gimple, Myrna's, Reva Flax, the late Lucille Lewis, and Shelley Geffen. Now, if I've left out any names, please, I'm just, because this is from memory, please just text me 34519, or you can call in on 074-654-7335. That's if I've left out the names of any of the lady caterers. And there was another caterer called Tasties, and that was run by the late Gerald Leisner's parents. Remember, they had it at the, it was then what they called the Queen's Hall. It used to be called the Coronation Hall, and then it changed its name to the Queen's Hall. And they were the caterers there. And then eventually Gloria Rutstein took over at the what used to be the Cranbrook Hotel, and then became the Connoisseur Hotel. And they were renowned for the Gloria was renowned for that wonderful smorgasbord. Remember, they used to have it every Thursday evening. You really had to book. It was absolutely packed. You couldn't get a place there. It was really excellent, outstanding. So if you want to add anything, please feel free to add names. I may have left out. I doubt if I have. And really, each and every one of these lady caterers, in their own way, were excellent. And of course you had the ladies catering, and I can't mention all the names, I did it last week, at the specific shuls when they did the Kiddush or the Brocha on a Shabbos morning, also excellent. But today I think most of the shuls have these resident caterers or outside caterers coming in and doing it for them. I'm not going to mention the ladies of the specials because there are so many, and you can't compare one kiddush to another. It depends on what people who were sponsoring the kiddush wanted on that specific Shabbat as well. Now, I want to also mention now that to attract membership and to get people to come to shul, the attraction has always been the Kiddush on a Shabbos morning that's at the shuls. Now, this was introduced a few years ago by the Rabbi Dr. Ivan Lerman, remember, at the Claremont Shul. Now, why I mention this, because they just had a conference at the Union of Orthodox Synagogues under the auspices of the Chief Rabbi this past Sunday to try and improve services and to get people to come to the shul. And the Claremont Shul were starting to feel the pinch. They were not losing members, but the services weren't as packed as what they wanted them to be. And Dr. Lerner, Ivan Lerner, the rabbi there, came up with an idea, and I'll talk about that in a few moments. We're just going to take an ad break.
A walk down memory lane with our very own Jewish encyclopedia. It's Talk of the Town with Isaac Resnick, only on your station, 101.9 Chai FM.
Now, if you just tuned in, I did mention earlier, there is no such thing as high holidays. Every holiday is important, because then what would Rosh Hashanah be against, say, Pesach or Sukkot? They would be called the low holidays. There's no such thing as high holidays. That's something that came from the America. I don't know how it crept in, because there's even a Marzor called the High Holiday Marzor, which is completely incorrect, and the late Chief Rav Luri Rabinowitz was absolutely against that. Now, I'm talking about the lady caterers, and as I mentioned, there was Gloria Rutstein at the Connoisseur, who had that wonderful smorgasbord on a Thursday evening where you had to book well in advance. It was so very, very popular. And of course, another caterer, which was very, I don't say they're not all equal, which was also very well known, and that was Lucia Lewis. Remember, she started off there at the Kalani with the bowling, the golf club there, and she used to do wonderful catering, not meat meals, but fishes. And really, the choice was unbelievable. Her decor was absolutely superb. And then later on, she became the resident caterer at the Sydenham Highlands North Shul. And then she passed away, and she was taken over by Shelley Geffen. I believe there's someone else there now. I may be wrong. But those were the caterers. And then I want to mention, let's ask the listeners, where was the Francesca caterers? What was their base? If you do know, you can text that was owned by Mr. Fishpen, 34519. Where was the Francesca caterers based? And another one, what was the famous caterer that was at the Oxford Shul, which was with the Simon Cooper Hall, where most of the 90% of the weddings in those days, after the chuppah, you go straight into the Simon Cooper Hall. I'm sure many of you remember that. Right, The Torah refers to Yom Kippur as Shabbat Shabbaton, that is Holy of Holies. That's correct, but it's not a high holiday. It doesn't refer to it. It calls it the Shabbat of Shabbat, the Holy of Holidays, but not the high holidays. You're quite correct to ever send that text in. Now, as I said, we're talking about the caterers. I did put out the question now, where was Francesco Caterers based? If you do know, text 34519. And then another very wonderful caterer was Dulcie Brody, and really outstanding. I remember a few years ago, I had that, what we call the Bobber's Kitchen, at the HOD Center, with Gary Friedman and Dulcie Brody and Angela Lurie came in and helped prepare the absolutely fantastic menu which our Bobbers used to have. I mean, I can't go to the details of what was served, but it was an absolutely outstanding function, and Dulcie oversaw the whole thing and gave a lot of advice to them. And then we also had, I did mention Riva Flax at the Capri. I did mention it. Excellent catering, and that comes from Becky. And then there were also Ruth Gimple. I'm sure many of you remember her. I think she was in Victory Park. And also her two sons, there was, I think David and Jonathan, they were in Botswana. I remember they were there because when I did a funeral there, the first Jewish funeral ever in Botswana, they helped with the minyan. It was in Gaborone when Rabbi Goldman Shlita came with me and Barry Kay and Chaim Silver. We did the funeral of a gentleman called Professor Morris Glickman, a medical professor who passed away, and he was the first Jew to be buried in Botswana, and the two Gimple brothers were part of the minyan. So if there's any other one you want to mention, I mean, there was Myrna's. How many remember Myrna's caterers? She did a lot of catering at the Great Synagogue in Vorman Street Shul, particularly for bar mitzvahs on a Shabbos morning and a Kiddush. And then, as I've mentioned the others, I'm not going into all the details again. You had Shelley Giff and Ruth Gimple and Maureen Binder and Joy of Joy's Blocks. So if there's anyone I've left out, please feel free to text me as well. Now, of course, our parents were the caterers par excellence. And of course, when it came now to Rosh Hashanah, don't forget in our days, and I'm talking about 20, 30, 40 years ago, there was no such thing as walking into the butcher shop and having the meat ready kashered, where you had to just buy it. Or today, you know, everything is even cooked, prepared for you. It's a roast chicken, it's a grilled chicken, or whatever you want, a roast beef, etc. You had to do your own kashering. You had to salt and soak yourselves. You had to remember when the chickens were shechet by the shochet. You had to bring it home, and you'd put it over the fire and pull out all the feathers and clean it. Of course, also got to be soaked and washed with salted as well. Today, everything is automatic. But our parents spent hours and hours in the kitchen preparing for it. I remember, and of course, one of the delicacies in those days, I don't know if you can get them today, was a duck. And of course, the famous Floyman Chimis and a Helzel and gefilte Helzel. And we had potato kugel, whichever it is. I'm not going to go into all those details. So if there's anything you want to add, please feel free to do so. And tell me what your favorite meals were on Rosh Hashanah. And don't forget the second night of Rosh Hashanah. You've got to have a new fruit. And of course today you get the pomegranate, which we get from Israel. Very expensive when they bring them here. And you make a special brocha over it. We used to have what we called after the meal, the Russian tea, today, you know, it's a black tea without any milk, naturally, because you're having a meat meal, and you made it, and you got it from a samovar. You can be sure that tea was boiling hot. And then, of course, you put in what we call kirsch, which was the famous from a strawberries or jam, and you had that Teitelmeil sugar which you put in your mouth, and you had that tea. We're taking a break. We're back in a few moments.
What's going on in the community? Let's find out with Isaac Resnick.
Welcome back. Yes, I did talk about the Russian tea, and there is a text that says, Kirschwasser is a cherry liqueur. The Russians use jam or a very hard block of sugar. Well, I didn't use the word Wasser. I know it's Kirsch. It's known. You could use cherries. You could use strawberries. And also, you put a block of sugar on your tongue. And that's what they used to use. And then there's another texture. It says, my favorite delicacy was bachar, made with cow heels, boiled egg and served with mustard. Yummy. Remember also fighting over who would get the marrow bones after the cooking process. And that comes from Annabelle. Very, 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 very beautiful meal that. So just to remind you, we have the Reflections of the Past on Friday morning between 9 and 10. And then we have the Art of the Cantor Sunday afternoon between 4 and 5. And remember, if you start to book now for your Lulav and Etrog, it's essential. You can contact the UOS at send an email to lulav@uos.co.za. Just to thank Craig for controlling. To have a wonderful day, a good evening. Go well and enjoy the rest of the week.